Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Final hour of Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5. The game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Marquise Munson taking you through this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking some Titans. And Joe, it's an interesting conversation. We had it earlier in the show, right around the beginning of the show, about comparing Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry to the duo of Steve McNair and Eddie George. Now, look, we realize this is a difficult conversation to have. Number one, the era that Steve McNair and Eddie George played in the NFL. I mean, the game was just played much differently than it is now. So you go back and you look at some of the stats, especially from Steve McNair's point of view, it's just a different game now than it was back then. And number two, the longevity that Steve McNair and Eddie George were with the Oilers / Titans, I think is far and away greater right now than the sample size we have with Tannehill and Henry. So we understand that's got to be a part of this conversation that you mentioned right off the bat. But I think it's fair to say at this point the Titans have not had a duo from the quarterback running back position anywhere close to Steve McNair and Eddie George up until Tannehill and Henry have gotten here. And you look at some of the numbers. I mean, Derrick Henry had a better season last year than Eddie George ever had with the Titans. He's on pace to have a better season than that this year right now for the Titans. Ryan Tannehill, from a numbers perspective, is playing the quarterback position right now in a way that we have never seen with the Titans. It is interesting when you compare the duos of McNair and Eddie George and now in the present day with Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry.
Yeah, it's an obvious comparison. And like you said, I mean, you have to look at through the lens of the NFL at the time when you talk about the quarterbacks. I think when you compare the running backs in particular, you know, that's the thing is Eddie George at the time was like, man, big, strong guy like that, Heisman winner, but he can take it to the house. I mean, he had some big, you know, long touchdown runs, but it's just, I mean, you know, no one has been quite like Derrick Henry. I will continue to contend that. Someone threw out Bo Jackson earlier this week, which was good, but you're still talking 6'1", 220 versus 6'3", 250. It's just, there's just... There just hasn't been anything quite like Derrick Henry, and he's just different. So I think talent level, I think there's a difference there. It's also a different era, but it's, you know, Derrick Henry is a home run hitter extraordinaire who's also a power back. The quarterback situation, you have to keep in mind the different era. And look, I mean, we just did the last segment. We all picked McNair for this drive at the end of the game. And I think that's the right pick. Tannehill's moving up fast.
He is. And just to kind of illustrate the difference of how quarterback is played right now, like Steve McNair's MVP season in 03, he threw for 3,215 yards, 24 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, a 62.5% completion percentage. It's good numbers. That's honestly right now in the NFL, that's like an average year for a quarterback, given what some of these guys are able to do. I mean, you've got guys throwing for 5,000 yards, 45 touchdowns. Ryan Tannehill had a 70% completion percentage last year. He's right around there this year as well. It's just a different time to play. But that just kind of shows you how much the quarterback position has evolved over the last, I don't know, 15 to 20 years. And it also shows you, how much harder it is to play defense in today's NFL as well.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a whole bunch of looking at offensive players now, probably with a lot of franchises or even around the league, you know, and saying, is this the best ever this? Have you ever seen a guy like this? Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. I think there's probably less of that on the defensive side of the ball, right? It's just the offense is winning right now.
No Ed Reed's walking around out there at the moment.
Yeah, the offense is winning right now. Of course, there's still great players on all over the NFL, but I guess this week is one of the exceptions now that the Steelers are coming in here. We're talking more about their defense than their offense, but it is. It's that kind of league. It's open. The offensive coordinators have figured out so many different ways to get people the ball in space, and quarterbacks are just more efficient, and they're just, you know, it's hard to find great quarterbacks. You will never have an NFL where there's 32 excellent quarterbacks, and those are the best in the world at doing it, but the ones who are good put up outrageous numbers.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in, says, the huge difference for me is one had a Hall of Fame fullback and Lorenzo Neal, and the other one has Kari Blasingame.
Hmm, that's interesting. Yeah, and you know, look, with Eddie George, again, we talked about this earlier, the workload. It is amazing to look back. He had eight straight years of 312 or more, between 312 and 403 carries, eight straight years in a league that was much more physical, in a time when practices were much more physical and there was more contact. Concussions were not really a thing. You know, it was not what it is now, of course, the safety for players, all that stuff. In eight straight years, he battered away like that. And, you know, he only averaged 3.6 a carry for his career. So, you know, he was a heavy, heavy workload guy who had a lot of twos and threes in there, you know, but a lot of games where it's like 28 carries for 94 yards, and that helps you win. And, you know, this guy now is doing – who, by the way, I think was the NFL Player of the Week, I think they just announced today.
Yeah.
It's just a different kind of deal. So, like – to me, if you're comparing the two players, I do think that it's a little bit different. I mean, it's a clear difference, I think, from running back to running back.
Well, and it's interesting because a lot of what people have attributed Derrick Henry's success to right now stems from Eddie George. I mean, Eddie George had a heart-to-heart with him, and apparently that just changed the way that Derrick Henry runs the ball. How many times did we used to talk about Derrick Henry running the ball and just bouncing it outside so quick? And he still does it from time to time, but I think he's picked his spots a whole lot better. He uses his size more, and obviously we saw the stiff arm last week against Josh Norman. I mean, it's just ridiculous the physical tools that he has. I would say, I mean, Derrick Henry is a more talented, gifted runner than Eddie George was. I just think you look at – and you brought up the example of Lorenzo Neal there. I mean – the Titans don't really use a fullback all that much now. I mean, Kari Blasingame, what's he get? 8-9 snaps a game? Like, it's not a big part of their plan. And also, Eddie George only had Lorenzo Neal for 2 years. Then 99-2000 now. Those happen to be his best 2 years. But it's not like he had him the whole time.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm going off the top of my head, I'm assuming Lorenzo Neal got a lot more snaps than that. And there's one of your examples of the NFL now versus then. You know, the 11 personnel, the 4 wide, even 10 and 11. So much more prevalent now, and back then you had the lead blocker. You had two tight end a lot. Now, the Titans are very good in two tight end when they have everyone, but point being, the lead blocker now is it's almost like sprinkle that in, you give him a different look, and he's a lead blocker. You send him out for a little swing pass, and you show him something.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mike texts in, Derrick Henry is great, but how quickly we forget about the bus when it comes to a big running back being quick and running ability. I don't think they're the same type of runner. Like,
the bus was not a home run hitter. He was a great player. He's not a home run hitter at all.
No.
The bus gets out in the secondary, linebackers catch him.
Yes.
D linemen might catch him. Now, absolute shiftiness, incredible, great player. But, you know, again, that's where it's just different. Like, this guy can do that stuff and then outrun everyone. It's just not – you don't
it's
see
really
it,
not
man.
Fair.
No, it's not fair, and you don't see it.
Let's go back to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring on Travis. Travis, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Row. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. This is my first time calling in, man. I really enjoy your show, man. I love listening to the Titans news and Titans football.
Thank you, Mr. Travis.
Man, I was watching Mike Tomlin, I believe it was yesterday, and I believe they are legitimately concerned about their trip to Nashville. And if I were them, I would be. I mean, I know that they've got a great run defense, but man, I don't see him being able to shut this big man down. And, you know, and I'd like to see McNichols, you know, a little bit more in the game too, kind of run him in tandem the way that they did Ingram and Kamara back down there in New Orleans a few years ago. And I think we can definitely be unstoppable. I mean, we're a three-headed monster when you really look at our offense right now. So,
absolutely.
I'm excited about the game. And I think we got this one, man. If we really put our nose to the grindstone, our defense has got to show up, and that's for sure.
Hey, thanks for the call, Travis. We appreciate it.
Hey, man, thank you. Yes, sir.
Bye-bye. It is interesting. Like, how McNichols, I thought, was great last week against Houston. Like, how much of a change of pace guy can he be while Darrington Evans is out of the lineup?
Yeah, look, it's when you have Derrick Henry. So what does the defense do? Like, obviously they are going to be hyper-focused on Derrick Henry. They're going to be looking at 2-2 wherever he is, right? That's why I still like him on the field on third down, because I just think you have to account for that if you're the defense. But when he comes off the field, what does the defense think? Okay, they're throwing in this play. Yeah. I mean, so that was really effective usage of McNichols last week. And he looked good. He looked good running the ball. It's a nice job by them to get him back here. I know Darrington Evans will be getting that work, and maybe he's another level beyond McNichols at some point if he gets healthy. But for now, that is. That looked like a nice change of pace, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him use that some more this week.
When we come back, Derrick Henry is getting some buzz nationally for NFL MVP. Should it be him? Should it be Ryan Tannehill? We'll debate that on the other side. But first, are you or your kid dressing up as a Nashville Predator, Tennessee Titans, or Nashville SC player, or sports star for Halloween? If you are, then enter the ESPN The Game Nashville Sports Costume Contest presented by Wilson County Hyundai at thegamenashville.com for a chance to win a $100 gift card to Nashville Underground. Just submit a picture of you or your kid in a sports costume, and you are entered for a chance to win. Contest closes on Monday, November 2nd. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The points that you made while valid, it's not impossible that Russell Wilson could nosedive, that Aaron Rodgers could have more games like the ones he just had on Sunday, that Lamar Jackson could ultimately have the game like he had against Kansas City. If those things were to happen, and Derrick Henry did more of what we saw Sunday, then what are we saying? Now, the likelihood of that happening is slim to none. I get that. But we can't definitively rule it out with this guy. This guy right here, he's had 116-yard rushing game, 119-yard rushing game. He had this 212 rushing game. The other two games of the season, he didn't rush for over 100 yards. Tennessee Titans are 5-0. And obviously, this success is predicated on their running game and the exceptional coaching job of Mike Vrabel and how tough-minded these dudes are. And they seem to know, I need to give the ball to Derrick Henry, because even though Ryan Tannehill throws the ball about 34 times a game, Derrick Henry runs the football 24.6 times per game. He gets his opportunities. And when he gets his opportunities, we can't rule out what this brother's capable of doing.
That was Stephen A. Smith on First Take on ESPN talking about Derrick Henry maybe making a case for NFL MVP. Now, look, we all know it's very difficult to win that award, especially in today's day and age as the running back. You know, we had some conversation maybe about Todd Gurley a few years back with the Rams, but it's really hard to do that nowadays as a running back in the NFL. But, Joe, if he stays on pace to what he's doing right now and ends up somewhere around the 1,900-yard, maybe even the 2,000-yard mark as a running back in the NFL, and the Titans end up, you know, 12-4, 13-3, 14-2, whatever the case may be, how much consideration at that point should Derrick Henry get for the NFL MVP award?
I mean, to me, Derrick Henry, the chance for – well, if they're great, then anybody has – you know, there's someone that has a chance. Like, they'd have to be like 13-3, 14-2 probably. And then you don't know what's going to happen with these other teams and these other candidates who are just automatically built in as better options, because the whole league – is on Russell Wilson and on the fact that he's never had a vote. You know, Mahomes is a guy who is going to be a candidate every year. He also might end up being like a LeBron type guy who,
you know, has to have
unbelievable years to actually win it. And people are like, well, let's give it to this guy this year because we know Mahomes is going to throw for 5K. But I think with Derrick Henry, I think with a running back in this league anymore, because, look, if Derrick Henry, if they have that kind of year, it also means Ryan Tannehill's going to have a huge year. That does kind of draw from each other, kind of hurts each other probably. I think Derrick Henry probably has to cross 2,000 yards. I mean, is it possible that he could have 1,850 and 20 touchdowns and whatever and just more plays like the other day? That's part of it too. Does he have more games like that where it's just like the whole league stops and says, oh, my gosh, look at this guy? Then maybe you don't have to have that number. But to me, it's probably 2,000 plus to give him a real chance. And then, of course, again, Titans being right around the top of the league.
And ESPN just came out literally seconds ago with their top five MVP candidates. I guess 8 ESPN NFL analysts came up with their list. Number 1, Russell Wilson. Number 2, Mahomes. Number 3, Aaron Rodgers. Number 4, Ryan Tannehill from the Titans. And then number 5, Josh Allen. So a lot of the debate locally here between Titans fans is, obviously it's very early. There's still a long way to go in the NFL MVP race. If you had to give your MVP award between Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry for the Titans right now, which way would you go? We asked Gentry Estes about that earlier in the show, and he was leaning towards Derrick Henry. Joe, if I ask you that question, which way do you lean, Ryan Tannehill or Derrick Henry?
You're saying like right at this very moment.
Right at this very moment.
I'm going to be a prisoner of the moment and lean toward Derrick Henry. I mean, again, like Ryan Tannehill has this amazing day. He takes you down the field, throws the fade to A.J. Brown, ties the game, is efficient, has these great numbers. And yet when the game's on the line, you send him out wide and say, snap it to Henry. You know, I mean, that, with you add that to the 94-yarder, to the 53-yard catch, and just the overall ridiculousness, he's leading the league in rushing now. I would lean that way at this very moment.
See, I go back and forth on this. Look, I think we all would agree that it's close, but to me, I can't separate how much better Derrick Henry has been since Ryan Tannehill has taken over. And it's a very symbiotic relationship where I think they both rely on the other to be as effective and as good as they are. But Derrick Henry has been good for a long time. He exploded when Ryan Tannehill took over as the quarterback. So I don't think you can just leave that part of the conversation out when you're talking about MVP. And quite frankly, I just think Ryan Tannehill is playing at such a high level right now. I would lean Tannehill over Henry at this point. I think it's very close. You can't really go wrong either way. And once again, from a Titans perspective, this is a great discussion to be having because that means you've got two players playing at an elite level in the NFL. But I would give the slight edge to Tannehill at this moment.
See, it's just like with the Mahomes thing where, like I just said, I mean, Mahomes is going to be somewhat a victim of his own. And it's like Coach of the Year guys, yeah, the Sabins, the Urban Meyers. I feel like we should look at it the same way with this. You know, the quarterbacks always win it. Sick of the quarterbacks winning it. It's been since Adrian Peterson, whatever year that was, 2012, you know, 2013, whatever it was, yeah, you know, several years ago. And the last one before him, I think, was Sean Alexander in 06. Yeah. So, to me, like, if it's close, give it – if we're going to give it to the unsung person who overachieves, then let's give it to the unsung position that's getting paid less and no one thinks it matters anymore. No, just draft some rookie and you pay him nothing. It's just a running back. I mean, this is not just a running back. This is why this team is where it is. He's one of two primary reasons. So give it to Henry in a tiebreaker. That's what I say.
There you go. I like it. I can respect that. I just, again, it's very difficult for me to overlook how much different Derrick Henry looks with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. I mean, look, he was good with Mariota, but he wasn't this good with Mariota. And I think Tannehill deserves a lot of credit for that. Now, I'm sure, you know, the other side of the argument is, well, yeah, but how much does Derrick Henry help Ryan Tannehill? I understand that. It goes hand in hand.
Yep.
But I do think so. Maybe sometimes we overlook how much Ryan Tannehill has helped Derrick Henry come out and explode and become one of the – I mean, what is he right now? Maybe a top 10 player in the NFL? I mean, he's really, really good.
Yeah, and that debate – well, first of all, it hurts both of them, really. It really does, because you could – if you're picking at either one of them, then you can – well, you can easily pick at the running back and say the quarterback's the most important position. And then on Tannehill, we've heard that a lot. Like, it's faulty logic if people who haven't watched him just think, yeah, but he's got Derrick Henry. That's no, it's way more than that. But it does. It's a chicken and egg round and around discussion with those two. Bottom line is they both help each other a lot. And really, the bottom line is, like you said, the fact that we're having this conversation right now is probably indicative of where the season is so far.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, I think the Titans and Pittsburgh game should be moved to Sunday night primetime. That's not going to happen, but
no.
Do you think this game is getting the attention that it deserves from a league-wide perspective? I saw Romo and Jim Nantz not going to be on the call for this game.
Yeah, where are they going to be?
I don't know, but I think Ian Eagle is the guy on the call for the Titans Steelers.
And Charles Davis
is
great. You know,
yeah, but I don't have any problem with either one of those, but it's not their number one team.
Right. It's an indication that CBS looked at this game and said, yeah, we'll send Nancy. I'd like to know what game they're doing. Because, yeah, and I did think maybe they would flex this to the 3 slot. They're not going to do the primetime flexing doesn't happen until the very end of the year. But apparently it's staying at noon. Again, for my purposes, I'm happy with that. But I get like fan, you know, you want the more primetime situation, but that's very confusing to me. Why Nance and Romo would not be on this game? 5-0, 5-0 I mean, these aren't like accidental 5-0 teams. An AFC championship team from last year, and we know the Steelers are good. It's weird.
It's very weird.
I mean, if you're Romo, I'd be pretty excited to come check out some Tannehill, some Henry, some Chase Claypool.
Yeah.
Big Ben. I don't know, man.
Missed opportunity.
I want to know what their game is. Anybody out there knows what their game is, let me know.
They did call the Cowboys and the Giants a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, they need to wash that taste out of their mouths.
Get that away from them. When we come back, we'll switch gears. Adam Vingan from The Athletic will join us. We'll catch up on what the Preds have been doing so far in free agency. That's next. But first, make sure you're there. Week 7 of your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks, will begin tomorrow. Make your picks of the 3 college or pro football underdogs that you think will win, starting every Thursday and before the college games begin on Saturday. This week, the weekly winner will receive a Burger Republic gift card. Just hit up thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and sign up to make your picks today. We'll be right back with Adam Vingan here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And the weird musical choices could mean only one thing, and that is our good buddy Adam Vingan is on the line with us from The Athletic, sponsored by Sealmaster on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, what's going on, brother?
That's my tribute to Marquise.
I know.
End of the Road by Boyz II Men.
Very nicely done.
Miss Marquise.
We're all going to miss Marquise.
Well, it's better than See You at the Crossroads because I'm not dead. So, so at least with that song, I'm still alive at this point.
Yes.
Both of them very heartfelt.
Very nicely done, Vingan.
Yes, thank you.
Adam, it's been a busy time for David Poyle and the Nashville Predators so far in free agency. As you look at their roster as presently constructed, how surprised would you be if this is the roster the Preds enter the season with whenever next season begins?
I would be mildly surprised just because they are sitting on a lot of cap space right now. And to me, that it doesn't make a lot of sense for the Predators not to use that cap space. And there are multiple ways that they can use that cap space. They, of course, can sign another free agent, and there are plenty remaining on the market, headlined, of course, by Mike Hoffman. They could also take advantage of other teams that have no cap space, first and foremost, or front and center, the Tampa Bay Lightning, who have a lot of cap problems they have to work through and a lot of very good players who probably are going to be shipped out to make themselves, you know, to make that team cap compliant. So David Poyle has a lot of options to make this team better, whether through free agency, whether it's, you know, taking advantage of a team that has cap problems or what have you. But as we talked about previously, when I look at this roster, you know, certainly we know it's tougher. The moves they made, you know, will make this team harder to play against. But I'm still unsure of where the goals are going to come from. Because say what you will about Craig Smith, Mikhail Granlund, Kyle Turris, they are far more naturally talented offensive players than the players that were tasked to replace them in the lineup. And when you throw in Nick Bonino, you're losing a lot of goals on this roster. So I think if the Predators were to go into the season, into training camp, whenever that might be, with this roster, I would be mildly surprised, but I can't say for sure that they are done. I just think there's still a hole on this team, particularly on the second line.
Well, you and I talked about Mike Hoffman the other day, Adam, and you've written a piece about Mike Hoffman, basically how he fits into this picture in the league at large. But to sum it up on the Predators front, it doesn't sound great. In terms of a potential match there, right?
Well, I spoke, as you said, Joe, I spoke to his agent, Robert Cooper, on Monday just to get a sense of where things were with Mike Hoffman. And it sounds like Mike Hoffman is in no rush to make a decision. And there is plenty of interest. Cooper said there are 13 teams that have expressed interest in Mike Hoffman, saying about 5 or 6 of those teams have serious interest in Mike Hoffman. The Predators are among those teams that are interested. I would venture to say that they're probably somewhere in the middle. You know, not the top of the list, the most serious, but not at the bottom with just passing or peripheral interest. So, you know, I think he is a player that is intriguing to them. I'm not sure if it ultimately will be a fit. It does on paper make a lot of sense. He scores a lot of goals. He has familiarity with Matt Duchene from their time with the Ottawa Senators. I know Mike Hoffman has a bit of a bad rap because he's not the strongest defensive player, but nobody is paying him to play defense. Teams are paying him to score goals. He's one of the most prolific scorers in the league on the power play, and we know the Predators have struggled on the power play in recent seasons. So it does make a lot of sense on paper for the Predators to be interested in Mike Hoffman. I'm ultimately unsure, though, if it's going to come to fruition.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic on the line with us, sponsored by Sealmaster. So, Adam, regardless of whether or not this roster looks the same heading into next season, there's going to be significant pressure on Elli Tolvanen to come in and produce immediately. Do you think that at this point Elli Tolvanen is finally ready to come in and play in a top six role for the Predators?
That's the million-dollar question. I really don't know, to be honest with you. So he's back in the KHL. Last time I checked, he's been doing fairly well over there. But again, the KHL does not equal the NHL. He has been fine during his time with the Milwaukee Admirals, but hasn't blown the league out of the water by any stretch of the imagination, as we all expected he might when he first came over here. So I can't say definitively whether he's ready, but he better be ready, and the Predators are certainly putting him in a position to be ready. There's a lot of pressure, as you said, Robbie, on Elli Tolvanen. You would hope that putting him on a line with Matthew Shane, maybe giving him some power play time, would help him. Certainly he has improved in many areas since coming from Russia a couple of years ago after his KHL season ended, but you know, this is a big year for Elli, not just because he's been giving an opportunity, but it's the final year of his entry-level contract. So the Predators will have to make a contract decision after next season, and I wonder what that might look like depending on how his season goes. But that's why a player like Mike, I mean, even like I meant, we talked about Mike Hoffman, even a player like Luke Cunnan, I think there's a good, he's a good addition to this roster in the sense that he is a young player like Tolvanen, but he has NHL experience. They needed a player like that. Tolvanen has played 7 games in the NHL and since being drafted. So, yeah, how he plays might have a significant impact on how this team does. That's a lot of pressure to put on a rookie.
Are you at a racetrack right now? Or are you about to play racquetball? What is happening around you right now, Vingan?
It's very busy where I live. There's a lot of construction. It's a major thoroughfare.
I thought he was at a car wash for a second. I'm not gonna lie.
That would have been a good guess too. So you're sitting in your home, and this is just the hustle and bustle around the Vingan home.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
The city never sleeps.
Yeah. You're the center of activity.
I should do an appearance from the car wash, though. I do like riding through the car wash. It is very exciting.
I just hope your apartment complex's pool, I never have to see another one of those pictures that you tweeted out a few months ago, or at least not for a while.
Well, hopefully it being fall, even though it's still warm outside right now, hopefully the corona parties have come to an end.
Fair point. You know, we talk about, of course, Tolvanen, like you said, so much pressure on him. We've talked about Philip Tomasino, you know, can he possibly be ready? There's a lot of excitement about him. Trennan, we don't talk about Rem Pitlick a whole bunch. He just signed a new deal. What's in your mind, you know, realistic for him here moving forward?
I think he would be a good bottom six forward. You know, I think he would be a good third line player specifically. He did score 20 goals in the AHL last season. He got off to a really slow start with the Admirals last year, but then came on as the season progressed and ended up with 20 goals, the same as Jakob Trennan, who, of course, you know, had some time up here as well. You know, I like Rem Pitlick. You know, he kind of fits the mold of a Rocco Grimaldi type. He's not the biggest player, but he's strong on his skates. He's willing to go to the front of the net. You know, so I think he and Grimaldi do have a lot of similarities. They could be good line mates. Who knows? You know, but certainly the Predators have high hopes for him. His contract yesterday was basically a qualifying offer. I think his NHL salary is slightly under $875,000, and it's a two-way contract, so he can still return to the AHL. But certainly there won't be as much pressure on him as Philip Tomasino and Elli Tolvanen.
Adam, last thing for you here. I look at this defensive core right now and just the six that they have that I've slotted in there with Mark Borowiecki and Matt Benning joining the fold. And I feel probably as good about this defense core as a whole as I've felt in a long time. What do you make of the additions they've made there?
I think their defense, 1 through 6, assuming, of course, that Mark Borowiecki and Matt Benning are their third pair, as we expect, is the deepest this defense has been since Seth Jones was here, and that was 5 years ago. So I do think, and of course, as we remember, Seth Jones, for the most part, was a third-pairing defenseman that season before being traded for Ryan Johansson. I like what they've done there. I mean, there are still a lot of questions on the forward side, but on defense, I think they look really good. I like the additions of Borowiecki and Benning. You know, they'll probably play a more defensive-minded role. Borowiecki is quite physical, of course, as his nickname Boro Cop suggests. Also, he thwarted an attempted robbery one time in Vancouver, and that's tougher than I'll ever be. So I'll give him credit for that. And Benning is a reliable third-pairing defenseman. He does have some offensive talent as well. When you consider the defensemen that have rotated through that third pairing over the past few years, Matt Irwin, Yannick Weber, Dan Hamhuis, et cetera, certainly has been a weak spot of this team. I think it looks like a strength again, or at least not a weakness. So I, you know, for all of the questions we have about the forward group, I think the defense looks good.
Adam Vinken from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by Sealmaster. Adam, great stuff, man. Appreciate you joining us.
All right, I'm going to the car wash now.
There you go.
Go give Pretzel a walk.
Have a good time.
All right, guys. Bye.
All right, see you, Adam. When we come back, we'll give our final thoughts looking ahead to the Titans and Steelers matchup. What concerns you the most if you're a Titans fan heading into this matchup? We'll discuss that next. But first, I've got a word from FanDuel. And let me tell you, sports betting is almost here. And I've been, you know, just kind of getting more and more familiar with the FanDuel Sportsbook app. And I got to tell you, it's got the Robbie Stanley seal of approval. And if you know me, it's pretty hard to get the Robbie Stanley seal of approval. The FanDuel Sportsbook app has got it. Right now, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving you $50 in free bets just for signing up. You heard that right. $50 in free site credit to register and verify early. No deposit required. FanDuel is America's number one sports betting site for a reason. They've got odds on all the biggest sports and a simple, intuitive app that makes it really easy to find the bet you're looking for and then lock it in. And unlike the other guys, once you do that and you win, FanDuel gets you your cash in as little as 24 hours. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. So right now, what you need to do, go download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and check out that fantastic app for yourself. Just be sure when you sign up and register, use promo code ROB, that's R-O-B, so they know that we sent you. And when you verify your account, you'll receive $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. That's promo code ROB to get $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee to participate. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For gambling problem support, call 1-800-889-9789. Titans fans, Corner Pub is the place to check out the game with locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, or downtown, and great beer specials including $1 off of Yazoo and Happ & Harry's draft beers, plus Happ & Harry's bucket specials. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from the Corner Pub downtown location this Sunday. Join us at ESPN 102.5 The Game from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. prior to the Titans taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, and is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by Rumble On, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Looking ahead to the Titans-Steelers matchup this Sunday at Nissan Stadium. Two 5-0 teams, two teams that get it done in different ways. We talked earlier in the show, Joe, about just how dominant the numbers are defensively for Pittsburgh this year. They've been very good, very effective in pretty much every category on that side of the ball. You look across, and the Titans, we know how good they've been offensively. Tannehill and Derrick Henry both playing at an MVP caliber level. A pretty titanic matchup, no pun intended, in terms of great offense versus great defense this week. And you wonder, how much does the loss of Taylor Lewan affect what the Titans can do in this matchup against Pittsburgh?
Yeah, you'd love to see, like, if you could see the either or, like, game plan for the Titans. How much of the game plan is even just centered around dealing with that? Whereas, again, before, it's why you pay a guy $80 million over 5 years. That's, you just put him over there. Watt, Dupree,
Doesn't matter. Whatever. I mean, doesn't mean he's going to always win, but he's going to win enough that you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to game plan around it. Now you do. I mean, no matter what you do. And this week, there's no realistic scenario in which Kelly would be on the left side and like an Isaiah Wilson would be on the right side. Would they swap Kelly and Sombrilo? I mean, I hadn't thought about that as a possibility. I mean, I guess you could look at it that way too. Like Kelly's your strongest tackle, so have him in the most important spot and move forward with Sombrilo. You could do that, but in all likelihood, it's Sombrilo on the left side with a lot of help. And how much does that help impact the Titans? To me, they got to run the ball to have a chance to have that anything close to the kind of production they've been having on offense. I mean, it's been looked great, but that's a big loss. By the way, I do want to correct something I said earlier on the show. I don't know exactly what happened here, but in the last couple of days, because I wrote about the Titans' possible trade targets at tackle, and I looked at the Titans' website several times and did not see David Quessenberry. He is on the practice squad right now. I don't know how he disappeared from that, but I want to thank @NukeBomb25 for pointing that out. So Brandon Kemp and David Quessenberry on the practice squad. You know, Quessenberry is a great inspirational story, of course. He's beat cancer.
Yep.
He's been in the league a long time. I still, I think you feel a little better. He would be, I think, probably the choice before Kemp, not knowing much about Kemp. But I still think that the problem remains mostly the same. You know, there's depth and there's also what's your quality like. And that's why that position I still think is very much ripe to be explored as a trade possibility for a team with 9 picks in the 2021 draft.
And I'm interested with where the Titans are right now at tackle. With Taylor Lewan not being available, you've got questions there. Do you move Dennis Kelly over to left tackle? What do you do with Isaiah Wilson? Is he going to be a factor at all, not only in this game, but as they move forward here? What does the game plan look like from Arthur Smith? Is there more chipping? Do you leave a back in longer than you normally would for protection? Do you use a guy like maybe Adam Humphries to chip? And then with that even aside, with how quickly and how dangerous that Pittsburgh pass rush can be, do you focus in on a guy like Adam Humphries who runs the shorter routes, who's very dominant in the slot? Could he have a big week this week against Pittsburgh, who is very gifted at getting to the quarterback very quickly?
We talked about the Buffalo game. It brought to mind to me the Houston game of 2018. They go to Miami in the opener, longest game ever because of weather. They lose Delanie Walker. They lose Taylor Lewan. They lose Marcus Mariota. They go into this Houston game against, at the time, J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney, Whitney Mercilus, without their, because Conklin was hurt too. So I think Conklin was not back yet from his knee, right? So they have both starting tackles out. And then they have Mariota out, too. They have Blaine Gabbert at quarterback. And I remember all week, most people thought they were just going to get destroyed. But all week it was like, so what are they going to do? Like, is it just like 1.5 step drops? In fact, Tyler Maritz was one of the tackles.
Couldn't tell you who the other one was.
That's bad that I don't remember. He's not. It's Pamphile, I believe.
Yes.
Kevin
Pamphile.
And Tyler Maritz were the two tackles. It was like, what are they going to do? So what did they do? They did a whole bunch of quick get the ball out. They did a whole bunch of Derrick Henry wildcat. They had a fake punt. And, they really had to go smoke and mirrors. That was one of those days for Mike Vrabel. You're like, man, that guy really figured some stuff out and found a way to win a football game. It's not to that level here this week. You got an offense that still is operating at a high level. You're getting Corey Davis back. You're getting Michael Pruitt back. But I do think that there's something there with this opponent, with T.J. Watt, with Bud Dupree, with Stephon Pruitt. I mean, they've got guys that from all areas that can come at you, and you cannot help everybody. You can't. You can't help everyone. You can't. I mean, I guess you could have like a, 8-man protection. Send two people out if you want, but that's just
good luck with that,
right? It's a good secondary. I mean, you've got to game plan some stuff. And hey, now that I think about it, maybe a little. Hey, the Wildcat just won your game. Maybe a little more Wildcat this week.
Very interested to see how AJ Brown matches up this week. One of the big talking points in the playoffs last year. He didn't get a whole lot of separation with Stephon Gilmore. Really wasn't much of a factor in the playoffs for the Titans last year. This is a pretty big test for him this week. Joe Hayden on the other side. You would figure he'll be on A.J. Brown. Can A.J. Brown be physical enough? Can he create separation to give the Titans
a threat down the field and a threat after he catches the ball. Going to be interesting to see.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is do you feel comfortable that you can, you know, set up and take shots and throw downfield? Or does A.J. Brown get used almost more like he did against Buffalo when you were so shorthanded at receiver? I mean, a lot of it was like just get him the ball quickly and let him work. I mean, he's so good after the catch that – That's one of the things that's great about him is however you use him, he can make a big play out of something. You know, you don't have to send him vertical, but Titans probably aren't going to be that comfortable trying to, you know, seven-step drop Tannehill. Now, if the running game is working great and the play action can work off it, yeah, but, boy, there's still so many matchups blocking in pass protection that you can't like going to this game.
Do we think by the end of the game on Sunday that Mike Tomlin knows Ryan Tannehill's name? It was Tandy Hill yesterday. Ryan Tandy Hill. Do we think by the end of Sunday he knows who Ryan Tannehill
Ryan
is?
Ryan Jessica Tandy Hill.
Yes.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. It was the combo of, yeah, you've got, we've heard the Tanny Hill. Some people we know well.
Tanny Hill.
There's still like Steve Tanny Hill from South Carolina. I think he was quarterback 95 or something like that, 93.
The glory days.
Yeah. But so that's been cleared up. It's Tannehill. Also, Sombrilo, everyone.
Sombrilo.
Sombrilo. We've had a variety of...
I think I've called him everything under the sun. I've heard of sombrero tossed out there as well.
That's right.
Sombrero and left taco.
Yes. It is Sombrilo. So, but yeah, Tomlin, that was an interesting pronunciation. Tomlin also said today, what did he say? He said Derrick Henry, just ridiculous.
Yes.
Just ridiculous.
He knows Derrick Henry's name.
Coach speak is every week you hear all these coaches are like, oh, this guy, oh, they're so tough. This matchup's... Like, I actually believe Mike Tomlin when he said that because it is just ridiculous. And that, you know, if Derrick Henry can run wild on that defense,
you got something.
Then, you know, the next week I'll come even stronger that I shade toward Henry over Tannehill for MVP. The top two candidates clearly in the NFL.
Ryan Tannehill, baby. We'll see if he can get the job done on Sunday against Pittsburgh. That's going to wrap it up for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll continue the Titans and Vols discussion all week long. A big weekend for both coming up. We'll be back tomorrow, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Darren Donick and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Two more shows of Munson.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.